What's up, y'all? This is Connie Morgan with the Free Black Bot podcast. Today's guest tells us her journey of going from a hardcore Bernie supporter and paid leftist protester to a leader in the North Carolina Forward Party. Barbara Gaskins is a re-entry professional and a nationally certified gang specialist who serves as the policy and legislative chairman for the North Carolina American Legion Auxiliary and is pushing back against the mantra, vote blue, no matter who. She thinks neither the right or left have the answers and the way is forward. Learn about the Forward Party, yes, the one started by Andrew Yang, and Barbara's own political transformation in this episode, because remember, there is no such thing as the Black perspective, just Black people with perspectives. The number you have
dialed. You're listening to the Free Black Thought Podcast.
Barbara, thank you for joining me here today on the Free Black Thought Podcast. Very excited to talk about what you're doing and how you've kind of seen a problem in the culture and politics, and you're doing something about it. And that's very exciting stuff. We're going to be talking all about the North Carolina Forward Party today. But before we get into the nitty-gritty details, please tell our audience a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, how you were raised, and kind of how your life led you to where you are today.
Absolutely. First and foremost, thank you so very much for having me. I know we had some issues before, but I'm glad we were able to connect.
Yes.
But, I was born and raised in rural North Carolina. You know, just born to Christian parents. It wasn't a traditional household. It was, you know, grandma was here and auntie and mom and close-knit family, just, I guess, non-really nuclear, but yeah, just close-knit. And I guess what led me here is that, you know, as Black people, or being Black and, of course, rural, you know, we're taught that as soon as you turn 18, you know, you need to register as a Democrat. And, you know, so that's kind of what led me, because, you know, at the age of 18, I was told vote blue no matter who.
Really?
And yes. So just, you know, moving forward, it just, I see where the disconnect is, and I see in, you know, rural North Carolina and rural America, you know, that is not the way that we should be teaching our kids, and that is not, you know, the thought that we should have. And I have three boys myself, and, you know, as soon as my 18-year-old or my son turned 18, you know, I told him, go and register as an independent. Yeah. You know, find out who represents you, and that's how you make your vote. You know, we have to garner and utilize our voting power so that it means something. And, you know, we need to stop. And I guess my thought was that we need to stop allowing a party or specific, you know, individuals or party figures to dictate, you know, who we vote for. And I hate that slogan, vote blue, no matter who, because, you know, here in North Carolina, so many issues have occurred when it comes to voting blue, you know, and I guess we'll talk about that in moving forward. But I guess just touching on it, you know, we have several candidates who decide to run as Democrats because they know that if they run as a Republican, then they're not going to beat the incumbent. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot easier to put that D behind your name and, you know, get that vote. And, you know, be that key figure in the Democratic Party. And, you know, just moving like Trisha Cotham out of Charlotte. She's one that did that. She ran as a Democrat in a majority Black area, and she won. Mm-hmm. As soon as she got in, she switched her affiliation to Republican. Mm. And so, of course, that does not represent, you know, what we want it to represent. And she by no means represents any of the people that she actually promised to represent.
Okay, that's really interesting, and I want to dig into that. But first, actually, let's go back a little bit. So you're raised in a rural area. Was your family like did you have a farm? Like how rural of a lifestyle were you living?
I guess not necessarily. North Carolina in general is considered rural, but we didn't live on a farm. My grandmother she was born in Aden, North Carolina. And so she and her family initially were raised, you know, on the farm. And I'm the third great granddaughter of an enslaved individual that was brought here to North Carolina. But rural, I was born in Greenville. So maybe about I know it's maybe less than 100,000 people. You know, everyone knows your name, just that type role.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's interesting that you were still told vote blue no matter who. And I know even rural Black folks tend to be Democrat and, you know, lean that direction, or at least think that they lean that direction. But anecdotally for me, I've actually found that, you know, rural Black Americans that I meet, they might typically always vote Democrat still, but I don't hear them saying so much vote blue no matter who. They seem to typically have more of an open mind than Black people that are in the city. But you're kind of saying, nope, everybody was just kind of getting in line, whether you're city, rural, or otherwise.
Absolutely, because I just found out that there's something called like a blue ballot. And so there's individuals that, and I guess the Republican Party does it as well, but you know, the Democratic Party will fill out a quote unquote blue ballot and they'll hand you the ballot. And that's more so, you know, who you vote for. Mm-hmm. And I guess that in an actuality, I think that looking back, if we actually kind of focus on, you know, my upbringing and, you know, a lot of how we were brought, you know, we are conservative in so many aspects.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it comes to the representation, you know, we tend to want to vote Democrat. But yeah, I was told vote blue no matter who. And that's been the unfortunate slogan that I've seen being pushed through the years now.
Yeah. And it's interesting how that shift has happened, right? Because my lineage is very rural. My dad grew up on a farm and then he raised us on a horse ranch. When I say us, I mean me and my brother. And actually Washington State. So to be rural and Black in Washington State is pretty rare. And we lived in a very white area. There's lots of Black folks like in Seattle, in the city, but not in the rural parts of Washington State so much. So although Black cowboys do exist, of course, all over the United States, they are much more rare in Washington. Mm-hmm. So that was sort of a unique upbringing. And then my grandparents are from Southern Illinois. And my grandfather was a farmer and basically until the day he died. And they always voted Republican growing up. And they taught my dad and his siblings to vote Republican. They said the Democrats are the racists. And they were correct in that. The Democrats were the Klan. Mm-hmm. But then a shift happened, even for my grandparents. So all of their children basically went off to college and switched party affiliations. I mean, they weren't really affiliated with a party when they were kids. But, you know, they all became sort of more vote blue no matter who type people, except for my dad. And he's one of a dozen kids. So my dad was really the only one that stayed on the right, I guess I'd say. And so the children all switched Democrat. And then my grandma, I don't know, I think she was more kind of voted for who she thought would be the best candidate. And my grandpa died before Barack Obama ran the first time, but my grandmother was still alive. And by then she was voting blue no matter who. And I blame her? I mean, very exciting, right? This is a woman who grew up under brutal racism, and to see a Black man get the opportunity to be president. I adored my grandmother. She's dead now too, but I adore her and I don't fault her for that. Though I wonder what your thoughts are about the shift that happened. Like, why have so many Black folks been convinced that the Republican Party or conservative values or libertarian values or the right isn't for them, even though just a generation ago, like I said, my dad and his siblings were raised being told the Klan is the Democrats. Stay away from them. But now they largely vote Democrat.
Absolutely. See, that's something that I had to learn, you know, on my own as well. And my grandmother, thankfully, she's still here. She'll be 95 next month.
Awesome.
Yes. Yes. Love it. She was born in 1929. So she's seen and witnessed and just, you know, just talking to her is like a wealth of information. But I guess to hear her say that we're still fighting for what she was fighting for, that just, it does something to me. But what I'll say is that I think the Democrats, as far as the messaging, you know, they want to give or the persona of being a welcoming party. And I think that a lot of, okay, so I don't know if I had mentioned or what have you, but I ran for U.S. House in 22, and then I ran for mayor in 23. And, you know, the initially I was independent and I was told that I needed to pick a party. Mm-hmm. I need to pick a side, you know, and I knew that I would not be welcomed on the Republican side. And so it was, I mean, it was kind of fail proof. Like, where else are you going to go?
Why weren't you welcome? What were the reasons?
I guess I really don't have a reason. It was just, you know, they did not really, you know, speak to me. I mean, it was very few that would, you know, speak or would even invite me anywhere.
Okay.
But
was it because of was it racism, do you think, or something else?
See, I don't know, because I don't want to, you know, I'm not the type person to just put everything on racism. So I'm not sure. Because I'll say, honestly, I don't think I reached out as much as I could have reached out also. So, you know, that could have been an issue. I was actually told by a Republican that I was running on the wrong side. I've actually been told recently that, you know, a lot of them are happy that I went independent. Because now there's a lot that, you know, want to get behind me. In some of the things that I've been saying. But I guess at the time it was just simple. You know, the Democrats needed a face. They needed someone to, you know, just put on a ballot. And at that time, no one wanted to run against the incumbent who was a Republican. And so, you know, I'm there.
Okay. So you did register as a Democrat then at that point?
Yes. Okay. I did.
Okay.
And so, you know, I guess during the time of me running, what I found out was that the parties are not really different. You know, there's Democrats that have been voting Republican ever since that they could vote. You know, I've spent a lot of time with the Democratic women. I've spent time, I actually held a position with the Democratic women. The current chair, she personally called me and asked me to support her, and I did. And when I ran, I was told that she couldn't support me. And that was a lot of what happened. Like, in the party, you know, we've had meetings that they would say, you know, we need the Black vote. We need the Black vote. And what I would always tell them was that if you want the Black vote, and you're going to do what you're supposed to do, I have no problem. I will meet people where they are. You know, I will go talk to people because my goal was to be the voice for and of the people. But what I won't do is I'm not going to pimp the vote, and I'm not going to go and talk to people and ask people to vote Democrat and then you all switch on them. And so it was an interesting run. I'll say that, to say the least. You know, there were candidates who were not of color, and there were times when they would say, well, you know, I'm a Democrat, but I can't say up front that I'm a Democrat. I have to play the background because I have Republican supporters. There were times when I would go to forums and the Democrats would want to or ask me if they could walk me outside because they were scared that the Republicans were going to do something. So it was almost like a fear tactic. And maybe that's actually why I didn't reach out to them, because of the fear mongering that is kind of being placed within the party. Because you always hear it's the Republicans doing this, it's the Republicans doing that. And then, you know, on their side, it's the Democrats mm-hmm. doing this, it's the Democrats doing that. So it's really hard to kind of pick and choose, which is why, you know, my biggest thing was, I need to find out for myself who best represents me. And I need to go against these parties and, you know, get off of that party line and figure out, you know, individuals that represent what we want them to represent and uphold that. And, you know, that when we put their name down as, you know, our candidate or support them, that they're going to do what they're supposed to do. But during the time, like, I mean, it was wild. I'll say that to even say that. I mean, to find out, you know, Republicans and Democrats who work together, to find out that, you know, some of the Democrats who I was a part of the party was actually supporting the Republican, and the money, just following the money. Like, I tell anyone, follow the money. You know, not only follow the money, follow the, you know, super PACs. Follow what people, don't just listen to what people tell you, but actually look at their actions. Because, and I guess when I'm going back to what you were saying with the switch, what I think is that the Democrats mean well, but I do think that a lot of the older or Dixiecrats from the old thought are still there and don't want to be considered racist or don't want to be outed. And so they're silent. They're the silent majority within the party, and that they're running the party, but just doing so silently.
So when you first got involved in politics and started running for various offices, what was your personal platform? Like, what were the issues that you cared about and the change that you wanted to see?
So I guess what started it is that I am and serve as a community advocate and activist. I got arrested in D.C. in like 2017, 2018, fighting for voting rights. I was arrested because I had my fist up in front of the president's gate, like I said, protesting for voting rights and to end the filibuster. And, you know, after that, it was our revolution. They contacted me and just other organizations. And my thought was that, look, we need a seat at the table. Like, instead of paying me to come and protest or paying me for pictures, why not, you know, let's take this money and let's create an avenue for us. Let's, you know, you see me as this leader or this person that is going to fight for the people, but, you know, we don't have a voice at the table. We don't have a voice at the three levels of government who will do this, who will stand up and do this. So let's do that. Let's build a seat at the table. And that was kind of my start. And I guess reason why is because I found out that a lot of the organizations, they want you to run, you know, they want to have a name, but then they kind of drop you. Even, you know, I was a full Bernie supporter, and I'm going to answer your question. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah, no,
but yeah, I was a Bernie supporter. I mean, I was a huge Bernie supporter. Mm-hmm. But what turned me away from them is that when I'm in D.C. and I'm, you know, getting arrested, you want me to hold your sign. But when I say now I'm running, you know, I'm putting myself out there to run, to serve the people, and I can't even get you to endorse me. So things like that just really opened my eyes. And, you know, I'm fighting for affordable housing. I'm fighting for, you know, ranked choice voting. I'm actually a nationally certified reentry professional. I had gotten a misdemeanor at the age of 17. And so just that misdemeanor alone, even with, you know, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, several certifications, at times it stops me from, you know, being great sometimes. And so I can only imagine just how hard it is for those that have that scarlet letter, that felon behind their name. And so I fight for their rights and just being a voice for the people. Like I said, affordable housing, of course, is needed. Just livable wages.
Okay, so you have basically come out for these groups. You've put it all on the line. Basically, you've gotten arrested, and then you turn around and go, I'm going to get involved even more, expecting them to support you, whatever these different groups were. And I'm assuming these groups at this point were all like more left-leaning political activist groups.
Yes.
Because you were doing the Bernie stuff. Okay, so then you said you're going to run, and you're running as a Democrat, and they don't support you. But then you're also saying that the Republican Party isn't welcoming you in either. So you're kind of like stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yes. So I ran a federal race, U.S. House, NC3. I received $12 from the state party, and I mean it's funny, but it's embarrassing. Like, you know, you're expected to, or I put myself out there to, as I said, to fight for the people. You know, I don't feel that as a person of color, for one, I don't feel our voice is respected and nor is it being heard. And so, you know, that was what I wanted to uplift, our voice in rural North Carolina. You know, we have issues specifically, you know, that we deal with, such as internet. I mean, we're actually at one county that I lived in, I was paying close to $200 for broadband, and it would go out all the time. You know, a good storm would knock it out. And that was just for internet services. In addition, you know, the district that I live in, congressional district, is a veterans district. And we have several veterans homeless. You know, we have veterans of color that don't have or have not received their benefits, their veteran benefits that, you know, they deserve. Yeah, I just wanted to be a voice and continue to want to be a voice for, you know, the community as a whole. There's like organizations, philanthropy organizations that will offer, they're called frontline, almost like justice warriors. And so they will fund like protest and other actions that occur.
Okay. And you were sort of working with these organizations, or you just know of them?
So I know of them. An issue happened here in North Carolina, and I was kind of questioning, because it was like money came almost out of nowhere. So I'm like, okay, what's going on? And so a friend of mine actually sent me a link. And once I got that link, I kind of understood things a little bit better. Like I said, a lot of people, we kind of know things are going on, but I say until you actually get your feet involved, or you get engaged with kind of what's going on, then you really start to understand it a lot better, and the forces that play.
Okay, so at this point, you've protested, you put it on the line, you've gone to jail for, we'll just say, the left side of the aisle, Democrats, progressives, whatever, but then when you start to run, they don't want to support you. But then you also don't feel like you're being welcomed by the Republican Party. But which party ideologically did you more line up with? Because you said you were a Bernie supporter, so I'm assuming at this point you were on the left. Like you would have been running as a Democrat if you could.
So my thing is that I think I truly believe in checks and balances. And so I guess now that I'm actually seeing everything and seeing both sides and people for who they are, I think I am more independent, because there are things that I agree with on the left, but there are things that I agree with on the right as well. And so I truly believe, you know, there's some checks and balances that we need to kind of focus on. You know, there are some things that I'm really strong on, you know, such as criminal justice reform, you know, livable wages, of course, internet, just, you know, there are things that I'm strong on the left. But then, you know, I am strong on, I believe in like our Second Amendment. There's, you know, I think there needs to be rules and regulations. But, you know, as I say, I'm from rural North Carolina, my gun stays with me. So, you know, there's things like that as well. So I truly believe that if we all can get to the table and have a discussion, I think that is what, you know, our society needs to be focused on. Let's not always focus on what separates us, but let's work on what brings us together.
So you've come to find out that ideologically you don't quite fit either group, but you were sort of forced in that position of reflection by being kind of rejected by both groups. Is that true?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yes. So you sound like maybe are you more of like a libertarian, you want criminal justice reform? Do you want like decriminalization of certain drugs and that sort of thing? But then you're also very pro Second Amendment. Was that? Do you see yourself sort of aligning with libertarians, or not even them?
Not even them. I guess more so, I love the concept and the fact of just being independent. Now, I do think the war on drugs was, you know, a failed war. You know, so yeah, I just, there's things that I agree with, things that I don't agree with. But like I said, I truly believe I'm more independent. You know, if there is someone that I feel that represents what I stand for, or at least that is willing to talk to me and, you know, have that conversation, then I'm more apt to support them than just saying, I'm going to vote straight for a Democrat. And I think that's what led me to the Ford Party. That's what led us to doing the Blackout Initiative now, because more so just I want to push people for independence and promote independent thinking. I don't think we need to box ourselves into pretty little packages. I think that, you know, as humans, you know, as an individual, you know, there are things that we're going to agree with. There's things that we're not going to agree with.
What are some of the issues that you have found are the most unifying, maybe not amongst all Americans, maybe just Black Americans or all Americans? What are some of those issues that you're like, why are we screaming at each other? We actually agree a lot.
I think ranked choice voting, and I would say from what I'm seeing and just joining the Ford Party, like, you know, there's Democrats, there's Republicans, there's Libertarians, there's just so many individuals that are there, and just that our democracy is under attack, and like we more so just have to come together. Like, you know, we can agree to disagree, but I truly believe, you know, there's just ways to do that. You know, our budget, I do think there's a lot of budgeting factors. I think that, you know, the military has a lot of funding that could be, you know, budgeted somewhere else. You know, I do believe, you know, when it comes to Ukraine and overseas, you know, I believe that, you know, we should protect and we should, our priority should be right here at home. Like, we have homelessness here, you know, but we're sending money elsewhere. I do believe, like, I lost a brother to fentanyl. So mm-hmm. I do understand, you know, the importance of, you know, possibly border patrol. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I think that there's ways to discuss.
What is the Forward Party then? Let's dig into that. What is the Forward Party? Is it a bunch of independents who just agree that we should have conversations? What platform is the Forward Party running on? Or is it even a party that runs? Break it down for me.
Okay, so right now we are considered a super PAC in North Carolina because we have not gotten ballot access. But it's a bunch of individuals who understand that, you know, we need to come together for the greater good.
So do you go out and recruit folks who are interested in getting involved in politics, and then you support them in their run, but they may have to run as a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or whatever?
So as part of the Ford Party, we do have a platform, of course, that we believe in, such as vibrant democracies, you know, thriving communities, freeing people, and more so just, you know, building a community up from the ground up, and not just, as I say, not just having a pretty little package. And, you know, as a politician saying that, you know, we know what's good for you, but just going out and listening to the people. So, you know, there is support. We do support candidates, both on the right, the left, and middle.
What are some of the candidates that you currently support? Or who are some of the candidates you currently support?
So Rob Yates was running for mayor in Charlotte. He is a Libertarian.
Okay.
Veronica Masaika, and I may be pronouncing her name wrong, but she ran for Hillsborough Town Commissioner, and she was an independent. And it was me last year, or actually not even last year, but last cycle. So
how was the Forward Party founded, and who founded it, and what was that foundation process like?
Andrew Yang is the founder. What it was that when he ran, or after he ran for president, he kind of understood that we more so have to come together. And
do you actually get to talk to Andrew Yang? Does he come hang out with you guys and make appearances and come speak to your groups, or is he pretty disconnected?
So he was at our last meeting, and he will be in North Carolina sometime in February.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And I guess when I go to the website, and of course I know who Andrew Yang is, and I knew he founded the party. I just thought some of our listeners might not. But when you go to the website, it's like, yeah, all of this makes sense. Like, I pretty much agree. I don't take any major issue, but it sort of feels like when I read about the Forward Party, I don't really know what the Forward Party is. I don't know if I personally would fit if I have more conservative, you know, I agree with everything you're saying, but maybe I have more conservative social views or something like that. I don't know. It's not clear to me, like the Forward Party doesn't seem to take a clear stance on all these like hot button issues, except that let's have a conversation and let's uphold our democracy. Is my understanding correct? Or maybe that's coming down the line, you know, when you do get ballot access, what's the thought process there?
I would say, so our positions are to focus on facts and evidence. So, and more so rather than, you know, ideology and partisan loyalty. So, you know, a lot of things we're not really focused on, you know, what Democrats so-called or you know, what Democrats consider their platform or what Republicans consider their platform. So I think that further down the line, when we do become, you know, an actual party, we will have, you know, more of a platform, a solid or solidified platform.
Do people, when you're, you know, out in the streets or however it is that you sort of recruit people and reach out to people, actually, how do you do that? Are you out knocking on doors? Is it just through an online, like social media presence? How are you bringing people into the fold?
So through all of that, you know, because I actually have a platform myself. I have a fairly good following on Twitter. And I think a lot of people have understood like how progressive I was, especially running and especially, you know, prior to actually kind of aligning with the Forward Party. And, you know, I get told all the time, like, if I left the Democratic Party, then, you know, there's some smoke, you know, like we're about to have a fire, like, you know, everyone needs to take heed. And so, you know, I use my platform not to say, you know, I'm not trying to take anyone from their party per se, but what I'm trying to say is get to understand and get to know, you need to build a representation. Like, you know, when someone is running, they are representing you. And it's not, I'm not professing, you know, a love for that person. But what I am saying is that, you know, holding them accountable and holding them responsible. If they say that they're going to do this, if they say that they're representing the community, you know, we kind of expect them to be out in the community. And so, you know, that's how I talk to people. Like, you know, I'm not saying to leave your, if you truly believe you're a Democrat or you truly believe you're a Republican, by all means. But what I'm saying is that we, of course, as forwardists can come to the table and we don't have to bicker. We don't have to fight about what we don't agree with. But, you know, these are, like I said, ranked choice voting, you know, the economy, criminal justice reform. These are issues that we all agree on, regardless of who you are. And so we're trying to find a common goal that brings us together instead of separating us. And so, like I said, I do that on my platform. I do that when I'm talking to people. There is an online platform where, you know, individuals are more than welcome to sign up. We do have meet and greets. And as I said, most recently or most currently, I am working on the Blackout Initiative. And that's more so just bringing people of color together and promoting independent thinking, challenging extreme views, and supporting community-driven leadership, but ultimately building a strong and unified voice.
Have the politicians, at least North Carolina politicians, sort of, do they leverage, are they kind of battling for your support, Republican and Democrats? Have you become such a powerful voice and powerful movement that you'll have kind of Republicans and Democrats courting you for your support?
I actually have had individuals contact me, and I've been contacting individuals. You know, there's people that I have reached out to, and I'm like, hey, you know, what is your platform? You know, if I were to vote for you, or if I were to offer support, you know, tell me what you would do for our community. And yeah, on both sides. I'm also very active within the community. As I said, the district that I'm in, I'm the policy and legislation chair for the North Carolina American Legion Auxiliary.
And so a few weekends ago, I did a veterans listening session, and I invited our congressional members, as well as our state leaders and local leaders together, to meet and greet with the veterans, but also to hear what their issues are. And so that went very well. You know, from there, I had our Republican congressman, his legislative assistant, has reached out. And we're going to be working together to amplify the voices of the veterans. He said that, you know, they fully understand that our veterans have a voice and need to be heard. And so, you know, we're going to work together to do that. And so that is ultimately my goal, so that we can get some of our issues listened to and dealt with on all levels of government.
So are there any kind of like red lines that if a candidate, Republican or Democrat, takes that the Forward Party will not support? I don't mean just obviously if they're really combative and they don't want to have conversations and maybe they want to, you know, completely reconstruct our government, that might be hard pass. But I mean, even just in issues like somebody who's pro-life or pro-choice or somebody who wants vaccine mandates or somebody, you know, like what are some of those where it's a bridge too far, and it doesn't matter how willing you are to have a conversation, the Forward Party wouldn't get behind you.
I think there's just certain issues that we kind of and I don't want to say stray away from, but, you know, don't really have a voice about. And from what I've seen, it's more so like, you know, and I hate to put it, but LGBT, whoever you deal with, so to speak, that's your, or, you know, that's personal. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we don't try to dictate yay or nay or, you know, get into that battle, so to speak.
Even with, you know, like, transing the kids, that's like one of the hottest issues right now. The Forward Party just stays away from that.
As far as I've seen, I haven't seen a lot of conversation around that, but nor have I really seen it brought up within the party either.
Next time, if there is a next time that you run for office, you're going to run, you want to run as a member of the Forward Party, or do you want to stay an independent and just kind of have the Forward Party backing you?
Haven't decided yet. As I said, right now we don't have ballot access. So if I were to run, it would be as an independent, and the Forward Party would back me.
Actually, can you just explain to our listeners, I'm sure most of them know because we have a very smart audience, but can you just talk about what ranked choice voting is? And I think there's a couple different forms of it. So I don't know if there's a specific type of ranked choice voting that the Forward Party advocates for, or if basically they just anywhere we can get started, we'll take it and we'll go from there.
So the way that it would work would, you know, allow our voters to rank candidates in order of preference. So like you'd first, second, third, or fourth.
Would you have to rank every single person running, or could you just be like, I only care about two, so I'm just gonna vote, you know, Trump, Biden, and leave it at that? Or if there was a president, would you have to list like all those random parties, you know, that run? Would you have to rank them all out?
I would personally say it would be who you decide, you know, represents you.
So it doesn't require, like, if you went and you were doing some kind of electronic ballot, you don't think, or it's not the Forward Party's position that, okay, you have to like rack and stack
right
every single person that's running, just whoever you're interested in, rank them, and
right
then basically it'll be a no vote for those other folks.
Yes.
Okay. I personally, I love this style of voting. I wish that were the case. I will go ahead and tell my audience that I have never, so I've only voted in three, I voted in every presidential election that I've been old enough to vote in, and that has been three. And I have never voted for a winning president. So that tells you a little bit, I'm a three-time loser. And so I'm a curse or something. I don't know. Maybe next time I'll vote for who I actually want to lose. But, and I definitely, especially I think like a lot of folks in 2016, totally felt like no party suited me. And, you know, even the libertarians, you know, I consider myself sort of politically a lowercase L libertarian, but the Libertarian Party is always a mess and they can't get their act together. So it's hard for me to, you know, spend a lot of time and energy and hope counting on mm-hmm. them to come through for me either. And so I think that this forward party message is powerful. And a lot of people just love that. I mean, even the comments we get on this podcast, I just love that people are having conversations and it's cordial and nobody's yelling at each other and you can disagree and it's fine. And you can still shake hands and, you know, go out to get a cup of coffee afterwards. Which is what we're trying to cultivate here. And I think, yeah, a lot of people are super hungry for that. And the forward party is sort of the answer. I guess I would say that if someone said, once the forward party gets ballot access and there's a politician that steps forward, who's not Andrew Yang, you know, somebody I've never heard of, and they say, I'm not a Republican or Democrat, I'm in the forward party. To me, I still wouldn't quite understand what that means. Like, what kind of candidate am I getting other than somebody who's probably easy to talk to, open to the conversation? They're not going to name call, you know, they're probably not radical on either end of the spectrum. But I still don't know, like, where are they going to stand on the issues? And I think that might be, that would be the only thing that would hold me up from joining the forward party or, you know, attending meetings and getting involved. You know, I just say, well, I don't know what kind of candidate I'm going to get on any given day from the forward party, other than a person who's fun to talk to, probably.
So what you'll get if you are vote or what have you for a forwardist is, as I said, someone who focuses on facts and evidence rather than ideology and partisan loyalty. You know, we are stepping away from parties. We see that the duopoly is not working. So you'll also get someone supporting measures, you know, who understand that we do need our public education improved. We do need access to health care. Protecting our environment is important, and promoting economic growth, but smart growth. But also someone who is committed to transparency and accountability, and who is not about influences of the special interest, or, you know, who can be bought, so to speak. You know, honestly, a forwardist is what you see is what you get. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, we are trying to be transparent. We're able to work across the aisle and willing to work across the aisle so that we can ensure democracy. We can ensure that, you know, as individuals growing and just in the country, so that we all can, you know, figure out a way to work together. You know, America was not built solely by Democrats, and nor was it built solely by Republicans. And that's really what we're trying to push. Just understanding checks and balances. We have to be held accountable. If we say we're going to do something, we have to do it. And in addition, it's not what our platform is. It's more so who we're running for. Like, you know, like I said, whatever issues are going on in the area, and we want to represent that area that we understand, and we're able to go and meet people, of course, where they are, and able to talk to them and understand what these issues are. And once we get in, we are who we say we are. We're not, you know, a Democrat who's going to switch over to Republican, or Republican that's going to switch over to Democrat. You know, as I said, what you see is what you get, and just really focused on being transparent and being held accountable.
Yeah, that transparency piece, and also just somebody who's not going to take lobbyist money, if that is truly the case. I mean, already I'm like, I'm listening, go on. Because a lot of it is, you just feel like you're being lied to, right? As a civilian, like, I can disagree with politicians all day long, and I do, but the most infuriating thing about them is that they lie to us, and everybody knows that. It's like, just tell me the truth. Like, I will judge you far less for doing something I disagree with, but as long as you're honest about it, I can go, okay, well, I think that was a boneheaded decision, but at least I understood why you made it. And it kind of blows my mind why that hasn't already been adopted by somebody though. Justin Amash, who was a state representative in Michigan, I believe. He was a Republican, but he's really a libertarian. And he used to write out, every time he voted on something, he would publish his exact reasoning for why he did it. You know, he would write, you could go to his website and he would explain exactly why he did that. And that was wonderful. And actually he's no longer in office. He got voted out. I don't remember if he chose not to run for re-election or if he got voted out. I know he was super anti-Trump, so that might have got him kicked out. I'm not sure what the dynamic was in his district, but that was really cool. And I wish, it sounds like the Ford party is taking more of that model. Like, hey, you might not agree with us, but you're going to understand why we, as candidates, you're going to understand why we make every decision we make and why we vote the way we do on every issue.
Absolutely. And I guess my hope is that people understand, like, you know, as a society, if you just sit back and look, like, and I can use Trump for an example, like, people really, there's some people that really don't like Trump.
Oh yeah.
But when you really think it, yeah, me too. But but the thing about it is he more so speaks to the people.
Yeah.
And so that is what separates him. Like, he says some stuff that's kind of off the wall, but he kind of owns at times, he owns what he says. And that means a lot. Like you said, people are tired of hearing the lies. People are and of course he's a huge liar, but you know, people want to see somebody that they can kind of, that feel that they represent him or represent them. And so, you know, I truly believe that it's with our messaging. And when it comes to messaging, people want real. Like, we've been lied to for so long. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been lied to when we sit and vote people in, you know, we don't see them again until elections. And then during election, they promise us the world, you know, even being a person of color, like, you know, there's a lot of money that's going to come into North Carolina. And, you know, an organization that told me in 22 that they got $250,000. And what they did was they gave it to other organizations. And what they did was give people fish sandwiches and chicken sandwiches at the voting polls. And I'm like, really? Like, you really told, you know, just things of that just does not make sense. And I consider it pandering. Yeah. And like, we have to get away from that. And I think that's why people are leaving the Democratic Party, because they feel just lied to beyond measure. Especially, you know, people of color, or Black people, just feel that the Democrats have taken their votes for granted for so long, and there's nothing to show. You know, we continue every year to vote Democrat, vote Democrat, vote Democrat, and nothing has changed. And as I said, with me being a community advocate, most recently, in October, there was an individual whose 85-year-old neighbor, he lived in the projects, his 85-year-old neighbor was getting broken into, and he, you know, kind of countered the break-in. And when the police came, they threw him to the ground. Mm-hmm. And now, granted, he's had open heart surgery. He wears a medical bracelet, and, you know, he wanted help. So I called the party, and I'm like, you know, we need a press release. We need a press conference. We need to hold the police accountable. And they never responded. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, when issues come, you won't respond, but yet and still you want people's vote. These are the people's votes that you want. And even now, like, you know, I get calls from all types of Democrats from all over the district. And they're like, well, you know, when she wanted us to vote for her, talking about the chair, she was, you know, she called everybody, but we haven't seen her. We haven't heard from her. You know, what do we do? And I said, well, you know, when it's time to vote, you just show her that, you know, you're not going to vote. You're not going to accept it. And so that's more so what I'm telling them. And if you look on my Twitter page, I've actually made a post. I told the Democratic Party, I said, you know, this is a voting year. You know, people are calling me, telling me they haven't seen y'all. Like, keep in mind, you want, these are the votes that you want. Like I said, just holding people accountable and being transparent about it.
So what do you think is coming down? I know people don't like to make predictions and stuff, because if you're wrong, then you're wrong, I guess. But I was surprised by the results last time. I was actually both 2016 and 2020. In 2016, I was surprised that Trump won. And then in 2020, I was kind of surprised that he lost. And now coming up in this cycle, I don't know. I know the polls say one thing or the other, and it's the polls are actually pretty tight right now, and people don't trust polls. And I don't think the polls actually were that wrong in 2016. Hillary won the popular vote. So the polls actually weren't as bad as people say. But I look at what people are saying online, like, and this is totally anecdotal, but, you know, I'm from Washington State. Like I said, I don't live there anymore, but I'm from Washington State. And it depends on how you measure it. But in some ways, Washington is the bluest state in the union. And Seattle is a very, very liberal city. And this is just an anecdotal example, folks. I don't take it as like true raw data, but there's a page that's called like Visit Seattle or I'm from Seattle or something like that on Instagram. And they posted a poll and they said, who are y'all voting for in 2024? And 75% of the respondents said Trump, which shocked me because this is Seattle. Like these are Seattle people. I was like, is this people trolling who aren't really from the area? You know, like what is this? Because that was just wild to me. And when I just look at comments on things and I look at conversations that people are having online, so many people are disenfranchised with Biden, of course. Like to me, he's been an absolutely horrible president. I think the worst president in my lifetime, though I haven't lived that long, but I mean, he's been really bad, but people really hate Trump too. You know, Trump drives people insane. What are you seeing as you're on the ground and you're talking to folks, particularly that black vote that everybody wants? Do you think you're going to see a big shift in 2024?
So, you know, as I said, just talking to black people. So, and I'll say I'm also in the hip hop world as well. And so I've actually spoken with individuals because I work with street organizations who have turned their lives around and they're doing restorative justice practices. And so when I mentioned Trump, I did not know the influence that he's had on, you know, some of the hip hop. Like there was a time in which a lot of the artists were having issues with funding. And Trump funded a lot of the artists. And so, you know, something like that people remember and people are talking about. And then also the money that he gave out, the stimulus checks, people are talking about that. When it came to the First Step Act, you know, people are talking about that, you know, him getting individuals out of incarceration. So there is really a strong black support for Trump. It's very weird, but I mean, and also, you know, coming from hip hop, you know, the concept was keeping it real, you know, no snitching, blah, blah, blah. And so they're saying that, you know, honestly, Trump is that person. All the cases he's got, and you know, he's not snitching, blah blah blah, but you know, it's interesting. But once again, like, we haven't seen Biden, and then, you know, a lot of his old issues are, I forgot what it was that about the schooling, and I'll have to look it up, but there were some comments that he had said regarding that. And then
about it's a jungle if we'd have he doesn't want his kids going to a jungle.
And then that's a lot of what I keep hearing, choosing the lesser of the two evils.
Honestly, you know, people say like, well, how do, whenever you have a conversation with someone who disagrees with you, particularly for me, if I'm the younger person, I'm talking to like an older member of my family. Or one time I had a conversation with a gentleman in a Starbucks for like an hour who is older than me. And we just started talking and we started talking politics. It was really interesting. But what they always ask me is like, well, how has this president really affected your life? You know, like, if you don't like Biden or you don't like Trump or whatever, whichever side you take, how have they really affected your life? And I can just say that my life was, I had more money in my bank account and in my pocket when Trump was president. And I felt a little bit safer about the world. I mean, to me, the worst part about Biden has been his foreign policy. And actually the best part about Trump's presidency was his foreign policy. No new wars starting. So, but you know, Trump still lost to Biden. So I am on the edge of my seat. I think politics is actually super fun. People take it really super seriously. You know, you would never catch me crying at a rally because my candidate lost, you know, like it's just not that would never be me, but I love to see how it unfolds. And I love picking people's brains, especially people like you who are kind of like more on the ground. Now I have two more questions having to do with the Forward Party, and then we can probably get to our 10 speed round questions. But my first is, so do you primarily work on Black outreach for the Forward Party, or are you just reaching out to anybody?
I reach out to anyone. You know, I guess more so because I'm around, you know, people of color, and I understand that, you know, that's where the disconnect is. Then that's what I personally, it's more like a personal thing. But yeah, and with the Forward Party, I can reach out and speak to anyone. I am on the executive committee. But yeah, I reach out to anyone. But like I said, my personal issue has been focused on issues with people of color. And I realize after my run how people of color have not been, don't have the tools when it comes to understanding civics. Like, I was running for U.S. House, and I had to explain, you know, the branch of government, and that, you know, if I ran, I wouldn't be in Raleigh, I would be in D.C. So it's those small things that we have not learned, or some of us that have not learned, and we really have to get focused on, you know, how things work, so that we can actually have a voice. You know, we want a voice, we want to be represented, but in actuality, there's things on our end that we have to accept that, you know, we have fumbled as well, and that we have to learn and be educated on.
Yeah, yeah. My listeners know this, but I'm a big homeschooling advocate. And I actually tell every parent, I'm like, you are a home educator. Even if your kids go to public school or private school, or charter school, whatever, I don't care. You are educating your child in the home. And because people will say, well, my kid doesn't know anything about civics because these schools suck. They're not teaching them. And it's like, you're right. The schools aren't teaching them. But also, let's take responsibility. Why don't you open up a book, a civics book, and explain to them that there's three branches of government, and, you know, this is where each of their powers lie and all this. So, you know, things won't slip through the cracks if parents are actually paying attention and taking responsibility for their child's education themselves as well. The public school system or private school or whatever is kind of supplementary. People kind of, I think, view it the other way around. Like, oh, I supplement them whatever they don't get in school. But actually, even though I know they're spending more hours in the classroom or whatever, you're at work, you're not as with them for as many hours a day, your child is going to remember and lock in the lessons that you teach them as their mom and dad versus a stranger that taught them for a year in school, and then they moved on to the next stranger, and then they moved on to the next stranger, and so on and so forth. So that's my little soapbox that I'm going to get on about that. I totally agree with you.
Absolutely. And I agree with homeschooling too. I have three boys, and all three of them are homeschooled. Well, my oldest is 22, so he graduated through homeschooling, and my other two are homeschooled. We had issues with public schools. Yeah, I think that I'm better suited to teach them. So.
You are, Mama. You are. They were given to you for that reason. Yeah, I totally
absolutely
believe that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Forward Party, trying to get ballot access. What do you need? How can people help you? Where can people send signatures? How can they get involved?
Absolutely. You are more than welcome to go online at ncforwardparty. I think it's .com. I'll send you the link to give you the actual link. I'm thinking off the top of my head. So.
It's NorthCarolinaForwardParty.com.
Yes.
I have it open right here. Yep.
And, you know, when you see meet and greets, please come out. Please, you know, we want to get to meet everybody, you know, that we want to represent, and we also want to give people a voice. So once again, any meet and greets, any events that we have are posted online and will be posted online. So please, you know, feel free to check on that. We also have meetings, and so that information is also online. So feel free to drop in or stop by at any of the meetings. And I want to say in North Carolina, I don't want to give the wrong number, but we need, I think it's between 10 and 25,000 votes in order to become an actual party with ballot access.
Signatures, or what do you mean votes?
Signatures.
Signatures, okay. And Does the Forward Party have a presence in every state?
There are certain states that we do, and we're working on others.
So I guess people can look up and see, does your state have a presence? If it doesn't, then who would they, like, is there a forward party headquarters that they need to reach out to? Or because they heard you, even if they're not from, you know, they're from Wisconsin or something, can they still reach out to the North Carolina forward party and say, hey, I want to start a branch out here in Wisconsin? How does that work?
See, so there is a get involved. So yes, it's 25,000 signatures that's needed for us to get ballot access. And if you are not sure, it's forwardparty.com, and you can go up there and see if your state is represented, or you can just go up there for more information and to join the Forward Party.
Okay, great. Awesome. Okay, let's get into our 10 speed round questions, and then you'll have a chance for final thoughts, and we'll sign off here. These are just fun, random questions just to get to know you better. Don't feel like there's too much pressure to even be fast. If you want to go off on one of these questions, that's fine too. So, are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. Question number one, what are your thoughts on white people having dreadlocks?
I think that, locks are a cultural meaning. I actually have locks. I think if you understand the culture, by all means, but I think that if you can respect the culture and wear locks, then by all means, do you.
There you go. What is your favorite musical?
Oh my God, The Wiz.
who is the most underrated Black intellectual?
Cornel West.
The Black Panther or Blade?
Gotta go with Wakanda Forever.
Okay. What's the worst part of being Black?
I guess misunderstood and underrepresented.
Is the word Negro a slur?
That's kind of hard. I would say no. I don't think so.
What is the best book you've read this year so far? And I know it's only January. We're closing up January, so you can say the best book you read last year too.
Okay. I'm actually working on Inventing Black on Black Violence by David Wilson.
Okay. Black History Month, yay or nay?
I think we need more than a month. I truly believe we're Black 365 days and we actually need to uplift that. Plus, I think that Black History Month is currently, we get the shortest month. In addition to that, it's like there's Super Bowl 1 week. There's the Globe Awards or it's some award show 1 week. So technically we get 2 weeks. Definitely not long enough.
What is your favorite board game?
I haven't played board games in a while. It's Monopoly.
And your final question, are the best things in life really free?
I think so, because there's things that money can't buy, such as, peace, patience, virtue. So, yes.
There you go. You got through our 10 speed questions. Do you have any final thoughts you want to leave our audience with?
Once again, I am pushing Black people, stop voting for blue or voting for who people tell you to. Stop voting for individuals who you only see one time a year. You have issues that speak to you, such as reparations. Right now, we have not gotten reparations. We have not gotten our 40 acres and a mule. But the reason why is because we have not built a voice. And it's time that we actually come together. We have to find a way to unify, because if we don't, we see how so many others have built brands and built their issues centered around us to build themselves up. And, until we come together, until we garner our vote and garner our voice and unify, this is what we're going to have to deal with. So Once again, please learn, you know, who your candidates are. Please learn your branches of government. You know, please vote or register independent and then choose what side you want to vote for or who you want to vote for. And another thing, please don't vote just because, you know, you're voting along parties. It's time now to vote for who represents you in order to move forward, in order to grow, in order, you know, for us to get what we want. We have to have people that represent us in office. And or we have to have a seat at the table. So if you can't find anyone that represents you, step out and run and be that voice.
Yep. Absolutely. Great advice. Thank you, Barbara, so much for coming on. And she, again, is of the North Carolina Forward Party. All the good stuff's online. We'll link to your Twitter and all the information people could possibly need about the Forward Party in our show notes. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on and chat with us here at Free Black Thought.
Thank you so much.
Dial.